Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
Time to check in with Jen Sabella from Block Club Chicago with our extremely local news report of the morning. And Jen, you folks have uncovered some interesting information about how everything got back to normal after the pandemic of 1918, the Spanish flu. And this is interesting, especially today, because later this evening, we'll hear what the president has to say about reopening the country when he makes his appearance at the nightly briefing. What did you dig up on this?
So Kelly Bauer, our prolific reporter, she spoke to a historian who has been studying Spanish flu. And he basically walked her through how the city reopened when the Spanish, right, and what they did during the Spanish flu. So it began to hit in September of 2018. All in all,
1918.
Mm-hmm. There were all in all 38,000 cases in the city by the time all was said and done, which, comparatively, right now we're at about 10,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Chicago. That said, there's very limited testing. So everyone, all the public health officials say the numbers are a lot higher than that. So basically, they kind of sprung into action faster than a lot of other cities, Chicago at the time. They did these social distancing things that we're doing now. They closed bars. They shut down a parade, but they did do some weird, kind of confusing things, like churches were allowed to stay open for a while until the cases would like explode more, and then they would shut them down. So they would, you know, they would allow like certain gatherings until it became clear that was spreading it even further. The city reopened in November of 1918, and they did it slowly. So kind of how now the city is tracking with data where the coronavirus is most present, they did that then. So on the north side of the city at the time, which the city, you know, we had the same population actually of 2.7 million, but it was more crammed into a smaller space. So near like north of Diversity Parkway, people were allowed to get back to restaurants and bars and work in early November. But then they would slowly open other parts of the city where there were more infections. The thing about that's a little bit different from the Spanish flu is there's just so much unknown about coronavirus. So right now, the mortality rate is 4.5% currently for coronavirus. That is definitely going to change just because the data isn't reliable. There's just so many people who have it who haven't been tested, and you can't gauge a mortality rate until the pandemic has ended. The 1918 flu, however, was also very deadly. It was 2.5% mortality rate. So if the coronavirus continues on this trajectory, it's twice as deadly as the 1918 flu, which is pretty shocking. And it's more contagious as well. So, yeah, the city, though, they got back to normal around November. So started locking things down in late September, got back open in mid-November. And they say that the cases tapered off around then in mid-November. And the city got through it, and they said that it fared economically better than other cities because of the social distancing measures. Fewer deaths than other cities and just fewer damage because they didn't, you know, overwhelm the hospitals and all mm-hmm. the stuff that we're talking about now. It's oddly similar.
Yeah, it's very interesting to go back and see what Chicago did in 1918. So it was a gradual reopening with the harder hit parts of the city taking longer to see those restrictions lifted. And that's probably what we're going to see in some form and will be announced later this evening.
Right. So, you know, I heard somebody comparing this to allowing a peeing section of the pool, maybe with especially how much we travel. Back at then, people didn't travel as much to other cities. It was harder to get around. So, you know, now we're hopping on a plane, we're taking a road trip, we're a lot more able to get to other cities. So it's spread so much faster. So yeah, we just have to be careful because that's what happened here too, a little bit. Like when they opened up some of the city, like parts of the cities, people would cross pollinate and bring the virus back. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and especially just how it was done here. Every state has its own, plan. So just hoping that it goes well. I'm definitely ready to, get back to normal life. Yeah. But I also don't, want people to die. So,
mm-hmm. Good swimming pool analogy, Jen. Yeah. Let's talk about the cannabis dispensaries and what's happening with them. And we should caution you, as we've heard the medical experts say, smoking anything is really bad for you, especially now when you want to keep your respiratory system healthy.
Exactly. And I actually sent our reporter, Justin Lawrence, he's been covering legalization of cannabis in the state for us, out to talk to some of these dispensaries about, hey, are they selling, what are they selling right now? What's going on? Is there a change? And there definitely is. Dispensary owners in the city said people are stocking up on edibles. So they're listening and they're not going to smoke stuff. They're just buying gummies and chocolates and other THC infused things you can eat. So that's been on the rise. And a lot of the dispensaries dropped these. They had these, limits in place right when legalization happened to avoid running out of product. So they're allowing people to buy more so they can go out less often. Mm-hmm. And they're also allowing pre-orders online. So it kind of completely transformed the marijuana industry in the city like overnight. We have a list on our website of what each dispensary is doing. Some have just stopped altogether selling to recreational customers and are just making sure there's enough in stock for medical patients. But others have implemented these online systems and delivery where you pull up and they'll bring your order to your car. Others have lines where, tape on the ground with 6 feet apart for people to come and pick up their order, and only like five people at a time could be in the line. So it's interesting. Each dispensary has a different way that they're handling it.
BlockClubChicago.org for more on that. Finally, the great, beautiful, historic Music Box Theater is doing something fun. Tell us about that.
Music Box is my favorite place. I love it. I've been going with my dad since I was a little kid, and they have launched a virtual cinema. It's a 90-year-old theater, as you know, at 3733 North Southport, and in order to keep paying their staff, they are letting people rent their movies online. So you can go to their website, and they lay out their schedule well in advance. A lot of these movies are coming from different countries, and they've come through film festivals, or they're independent filmmakers who don't have widespread distribution. So you can go on their website and scroll through, and you can rent the movies. It's really cool. My wife and I actually tried it this weekend, and it was super easy. We just went online, we picked a movie, you pay, and they take you to a site where you can link and download an app on your phone and stream it on your TV. So we have a Roku, so it was really easy to stream. And all that money is going to either the Music Box or the independent filmmakers. They're splitting the proceeds of that.
That's a great idea, and we certainly want to help the Music Box stay in business, because that is a Chicago treasure for sure.
Exactly. And it's really cool, and movies are changing every week, so definitely check out their website and see what they have to offer.
The Music Box website, and also the regular house organist, Dennis Scott, plays before the movies, so you can recreate the in-person Music Box experience. Love it. Jen Sabella, Black Club Chicago, Extremely Local News. Thanks. Talk to you folks tomorrow.
Thanks, Bob.